Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Hi, welcome to Cop Shop. I'm Nicole Brown, Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department.
And I'm Chief Steve Heavy, and I will let Nicole stop giggling as she was attempting to stifle there a little bit. But what we're all excited about is the original theme song is back for us.
I know, it's exciting.
Not the piano concerto version, which we were foisted in the past. This was the actual.
I felt like that was a good little just refresher for us, and yes. We're back to the original.
I heard from at least 50 of our followers that said they fell asleep during that opening. You know, it lulled them right to sleep. So yeah. if that's our goal, then we apparently accomplished it.
Oh,
so.
Goodness.
But we got the right one back. I think we wrestled with YouTube or something to get the rights to it. And so here we are. It's September 11th.
Yes.
And so we asked a lot of people to be a guest on our show. And all the better candidates turned us down, and so Nicole invited Dave Burke, Chief of the Farmington Fire Department. So welcome, Chief.
Thank you. Appreciate that stellar welcome.
You would always be my first choice. I just want you to know that.
That's why I keep Nicole here, because she's able to smooth over the rough edges that are at the Chief Heavy.
Yeah.
Very rough.
There's a lot of those.
So, saying. Chief Burke and I are going to chat a little bit, because we know where we were on 9/11.
As do I, sir.
Really?
As do I, yeah. I do. I was a junior in high school.
Oh.
I wasn't that young.
Oh, every junior in high school should be so proud to hear, I'm not that young. So, well, Chief Burke and I were not juniors in high school back then. And how long had you been with FPD or FFD?
5 years?
5 years.
Yeah. So I think I was driving at that point and just got off shift when the first news flashes started coming up and got home. I was transitioning into my secondary employment at that point up at the hospital in Durango and trying to capture as much of what was going on while I was getting ready to go back to work up there. And, boy, it was, you know, it's one of those events just like every generation seems to have had, whether it was Kennedy or Pearl Harbor or whatever the scenario is. Remember it as vivid as the back of my hand. It's just one of those events that I'll never forget.
Yep. No, I had almost 11 years on with Anchorage PD at that time. And I was on swing shift as a supervisor then. I was a pretty young sergeant. So I was sleeping, and I got woke up, and, hey, a plane hit the World Trade Center. Well, you know, I thought it just meant a plane had inadvertently flown into it, and so it was going to be bad. But then I got another call that it was a second plane hit a second tower. And so then I did get up and went downstairs. And I suppose I'd worked till like 3 or 3:30 the night before, so I was tired. But holy cow, you know, the next week, that's all we did was watch. Yeah, I mean, you were waiting for casualties that never came. You know, there was 4 or 5 firemen, I think, in one stairwell that they rescued. But you kept waiting for hundreds of injured people to be found and rescued, and it did not happen. And it was stunning when the towers came down. You didn't really know what to expect, but you didn't really expect that. So it was an incredible day.
For sure. It obviously lasts till today.
Lasts till today. So we went to, I mean, we changed shifts. I think we went to 12s back then. And there was, you know, there was all kinds of concern that there were going to be follow-up attacks, you know, all over the country. Anchorage with its oil and all the pipeline up in Alaska, we thought we were on the radar for follow-up attacks. And, of course, the West Coast was in subsequent years, but we didn't have any. There was really, for the first time in my career, it was such a helpless feeling to be all the way across the country. You know, Anchorage, you almost can't be further away from New York than that. But, you know, there was nothing you could do, literally nothing you could do except sit and stare at the TV and, you know, and they'd replay the people jumping out of the buildings and, you know, and the towers going down and all the... all of the signs on the fence. So by coincidence, I had bought an RV in July and was going to pre-position it in Wisconsin, and was going to go with the kids out to New York City and Washington D.C. the next summer. You know, long drive from Anchorage, but you could do it from Wisconsin. So wound up, my dad and I drove it down in October, and the next summer did go out to New York. They still, by then they cleared all the debris. It was just a huge hole. But they still had the fence with all the signs up of people that were missing. So it was, you know, a little less than a year since the event had happened, but it was still all there, and it was just, you know, it was very sobering. Like you said, it's for us, I think, you know, there isn't a bigger event. You know, maybe you remember Richard Nixon resigning. That was probably the first thing I remember as far as a news event. But then there was nothing really catastrophic for us. Vietnam was largely over. But that one was unbelievable with everything that followed out of it. So,
and I remember the overwhelming desire to help, to get involved, to be part of the solution, you know, all those feelings rushing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure as many of the viewers have recollection of that as well.
Yeah. No, that was back in the day, and Pat Tillman was playing for the Cardinals. Although I wasn't a big Cardinals fan, I knew who Tillman was, and he resigns from playing football, yeah. And joins the military and goes out to Afghanistan to fight. So it was in some ways it's such an interesting period because there's never been one like it in my life where we are so close as a country. You know, now if you can get through the day, and you know,
yeah, right? That's very true.
But there we were kind of all on the same sheet of music. I mean, maybe some wanted revenge faster, but really everybody kind of rallied around the president at that time. Those were tough days for everybody. I remember the video of Bush, you know, sitting in front of a classroom of kids. He's kind of reading a book to them when they tell him the tower's been hit. You know, what a miserable spot to be in. You and I have some decisions to make sometimes, but never, you know, what do you even do there as the president? So
Yeah. It's one of those events, like you said, that defines generations, and that it is. When I've taught a generations class, and 9/11, defines millennials, and so that, and you talking about, you know, Tillman resigning and then joining the military, and I was 17, so many people that I went to school with, that I grew up with, immediately signed up for the military as soon as they turned 18, and you know, that was it was a big deal, and I knew so many people that's the route that they took right after school because of that impact, I guess.
Now, some of the things, you know, we were talking before the show started, some of the things that came out of it, I mean, there was all kinds of bad. That was one of the good, actually, was, you know, I mean, the people really did pull behind, and we were all Americans back then, and but one of the other good ones was looking at the way police and fire interacted together. The word interoperability, I don't know if I'd ever heard it before on 9/11. I certainly, if I did, I probably couldn't have spelled it. I might be borderline now. But it became a big push, right? You know, all of a sudden how police talk on their radios and how fire talks on their radios, and can they ever talk together? Those were never questions that we kicked around before 9/11, and now it's just a function of life. Even the way, you know, our two departments wind up interacting in things like COVID and in some of our emergency drills, you know, all predicated on events that came because of 9/11.
Right, 9/11, then backed up from Katrina, and the whole interoperability with the radio, common terminology, the ICS structures. and really just enhancing communication across the board and putting everyone on the same sheet of music when it comes to larger scale events.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and isn't 9/11 kind of what's cemented ICS and that it kind of being the standard? Because it had really only been used in wildfires, right? I mean,
it started in wildfires for sure. Fire services use it for quite a while. But when it comes to, you know, when the fire department shows up and puts out a house room of content, mm-hmm. there isn't the need for the interoperability. But when buildings are dropping or large-scale areas are being impacted by an event, we all have to utilize the resources much more strategically and in line, instead of sending an officer, an ambulance, and a fire truck to a single event. The event is over large scale, so those resources have to be allocated more efficiently. So it really, 9/11 was white papers and studies of that event and the struggles they had, not only internally in the towers and communicating, but externally with so many agencies in that dense of a populated area.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't talk amongst each other. So it started the research and the ICS and the common language and common speak that's now so predominant in every form of public safety that it really has lasting impact.
Most things for police are shorter term issues. You know, so ICS was never something that police departments dealt with. You're right, I mean, the wildfires started, and wildfires are longer term events, but they tended to be just you. And, you know, if and in Anchorage we did have a couple, you know, we'd have officers patrolling in areas that had been squelched, but were still not wanting to have citizens come back. We'd have officers patrolling to prevent looting, but really, those even were, you know, it was a couple hour detail at the end of your shift. So 9/11 though was a days to weeks long event that prolonged management was just not something that PDs had a whole lot of experience in. And so there, I think fire and emergency management and the ICS structure, that's when that starts to move into policing.
Well, and the duration of the event exceeded even an organization like New York Fire or New York Police's ability to manage it. So federal resources started coming in, or resources from outside of the area,
mm-hmm.
and not having that ability to talk on the radio to the person standing at the next block was a significant impact to the efficiency of the operation. So now the interoperability, everybody talking, having the same frequencies within the radios and the same understanding of a fire engine consists of this, a patrol unit consists of this,
mm-hmm.
and having that common language, common expectation makes it a lot easier to handle larger incidents.
And for anybody that doesn't know what ICS is, it's Incident Command System, and it's just a structure to kind of, like you said, to label things that everyone knows what this is and everyone knows what this means, so that we're all talking on the same sheet of music.
And then we have a unified chain of command for events, as opposed to police are doing their thing, fire is doing their thing, dispatch is doing theirs. So Nicole, you were in school at the time, so here you were actually in school at the time the event happened.
No, I wasn't.
Really?
I was late for school that morning. So I was still getting ready, and I listened to the radio as I get ready in the mornings, and so they announced it over the radio. And then by the time I got to school, no class was doing anything. Everyone was just, every teacher had wheeled a TV up to the front, and that's what we were doing.
Hmm.
And it was just a strange day, I think, for so many people. And like I said, it inspired a lot of people to join the military and be, you know, an active part of the country as a whole. And
mm-hmm.
it was inspired a lot for my generation, but it was also very impactful.
So that same summer that I went to New York, we also were in D.C. and I saw the Pentagon. They were still repairing it. And then in subsequent years, twice now, I've gone to Shanksville. Once before they set up the big memorial site, and then a second time after they had set it up. And each of them, you know, the Pentagon, so I don't know if you've had better experiences. Pentagon, I just saw it as we're driving by on the interstate, so there wasn't, you could see it had been damaged. And of course, you knew it from TV, but both the Ground Zero and Shanksville were very somber. You know, you could almost feel it in the fields out in Pennsylvania. It was so quiet. You know, it's just farms fields in the middle of nowhere. But then to have watched the movie United, you know, 93, and to seen some of the documentaries on the stuff that went on, you know, honestly, that will be the number one event for me in my life is you look back is watching those people struggling and, you know, and watching the firemen go up and watching the policemen go up and then so few of them coming out. It was just, it was terrible, a terrible time.
Yeah. I really don't have anything to add to that. Yeah, I mean, the locations now still hold that, capture that moment in time and still have a emotional feeling, emotional component about them.
It feels so heavy. Yeah. And even just now, like right now, talking about it, it feels heavy.
Brings back memories, for sure.
And it's, there's words kind of fail how that feels. Yeah. But I guess there's a comfort in it that everyone feels it.
Yeah,
every American feels it, for sure.
It makes it where we are as a country today, you know, you're almost embarrassed for where we are as a country today, that we're this divided, that it's so toxic, that if you're an R or a D, you know, we've got our pack and we're off. And it just, you know, there was no social media, so you really couldn't just talk to the people that agreed with you. You actually had to communicate with other people.
That's very true.
And when you watch those videos, I mean, there's black people and white people and Hispanic people hanging out of buildings and desperate for help. There's mixed race fire and police forces racing up to try and do everything they're going to be able to do. And some of those stories are just, you know, outstanding stories of bravery. And then to put it by this, you know, where everybody can log on to Facebook and say something offensive within about 3.1 seconds of logging on, you know, it's just it's embarrassing, you know, where we are as a country coming from that. But I suppose, you know, for those that were around for Pearl Harbor, you know, 19 years later, it would have been 1960, and I suppose there, you know, it was a contentious election between Kennedy and Nixon, and I suppose people thought the same thing there, that we weren't the same country we'd been.
Very true. And it, you know, those tumultuous times when people just don't agree, and it's hard. Change is hard, and going through it. Nobody goes through it gracefully, I don't think.
No, gracefully.
We're certainly not as a country.
No, that wouldn't be the word.
Not very graceful.
You know, in years past, pre-COVID, you know, we had these events that we were able to look forward to and bring the people together and express our appreciation for what transpired with the people who lost their lives on 9/11. But, I mean, with the COVID component, not having that to look forward to this year with the stair climb that... Gary Groomer and Phil Logan, and I'm going to miss names, but a multitude of people put time, energy, and effort into facilitating in the past for the fallen firefighters and the ability to work with other public safety agencies. You had a big presence there. You know, it was just such a positive event that it seems like we're missing out on another attempt at rebuilding the community.
Yeah, bringing some cohesion.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, you did see it in those days, although everybody still had differences of opinion, and we were coming off a contentious election back then,
yeah.
You know, that went to the Supreme Court, and, you know, so it wasn't like it was all lilies and flowers and happy kisses on the cheek back then. We had contention, but boy, things really kind of melted away in the face of that, and we saw the word American, and the word American really meant something in those days afterwards, and not that I fondly recall much of that, but I miss that that cohesion that we had as a country and as a people. We really did not turn on each other very much. We really, for at least a period of months afterwards, we were pretty close-knit country. So it's a shame it takes something like that to remind us that, you know, actually it's a pretty darn good country, and we have a lot to be thankful for living here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And coronavirus, even though it keeps us physically distant, I think that towards the beginning, anyway, it felt a little bit like, because we were all in the same boat around the world.
Oh, yeah.
It, you know, everybody was struggling with it and struggling with, you know, having to stay at home and do those types of things. So there was a little sense of that, but as the year has gone, as 2020 has graced us with its presence, it has gotten more divisive, and it does feel strange, and hopefully we don't have to have another incident like that to bring our country back together.
Yeah. You know, Facebook is not always our friend, but there was a meme this morning. Somebody said, you know, I want to find my mom and want to take her up on her offer to slap me into next year. And I thought, you know, that's perfect. Slap me into 2021 and let's get 2020 behind us.
We've talked about this, though. I'm a little worried about 2021 being like the next level.
Yeah, next level of Jumanji or whatever that was.
Oh, it's scary.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully
just
not.
Just throw up Christmas trees, call 2020 done. And
yeah.
I know people that want to make fun of people that want to put out their Halloween decorations. I'm like, just let them have it.
Oh, yeah.
Really? It's been a weird year. Just let them have it.
It's been a weird year. So, you know, with the passing of September 11th, fire is not doing their stair climb this year, which is unfortunate. We hope to have that back next year. PD has, and I've walked those steps. I think it's hot has been my defining remembrance of the stair climb is how hot it is. So I almost wish I was flying up to Anchorage to do it in September. You know, heat is not an issue in Anchorage, but we'll have that back next year, and you know, we'll do it and we'll do it together this time.
Sure, I'll wear a vest and you can wear the bunker gear.
There you go. And but this next year we will do our high dive challenge again, won't we?
That would be great.
We will be represented at the high dive challenge.
Now, there are people you know, that listen to us that were interested in another performance of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, whoever those people are, I'd like to talk with them one on one.
So feel free to write in to our show, because honestly,
the gold pants are gone.
Chief Burke's performance was stunning and memorable in so many ways, and I still get a little emotional over it.
You know, I bet you Scott can put on the Thriller soundtrack, and we can get a little demo from you.
Well, I didn't do a very good job. You finished second. You were the man for that time period. You were the man. So. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to write in to Chief Burke. He really deserved it. I'd like to see another version of it. And Nicole, maybe we've got some more modern music. What could we have Dave dance to?
Stop.
I mean, there's so many cool TikTok dances now.
Oh!
We could really, I mean, you could be a TikTok superstar. You could go viral.
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 Well, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're just going to kind of let it sit in the air that Chief Burke could go viral on TikTok.
On TikTok.
Thanks for joining us today. Thank you, Chief Burke, for yet another dance performance that's upcoming, but also for kind of looking back at a very significant event in America, certainly in my lifetime and in David's and Nicole's. Who has a lot of life left, or the rest of us
generation
are a little further.
Defining,
yes.
Generation defining.
But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon here on The Cop Shop.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.